Walker.
A program called What's on Your Mind? Because we genuinely want to know what's on your mind. Last hour, we talked a little bit about a bison win over the weekend. We talked about Syria. We talked about socialism, all prompted by the listeners of this program this hour. A couple of the stories that Steve and I have in front of us that we want to share our thoughts on. But obviously, when we say what's on your mind, we mean it. So let us know. 800-228-0550-701-255-studio@whatsonyourmindradio.com. Story I have in front of me caught my eye this weekend, and I did a little digging on this since we had a long weekend. Figured I'd go to work for you, Steve, and tackle this one a little bit and find out what I could about it. Eddy County Sheriff Brandon Magra. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that last name correctly, but it's M-A-Y-G-R-A. Was charged with Class C felony child abuse or neglect stemming from incidents occurring between the dates of March 25th and June 19 at his home in New Rockford. He's the sheriff of Eddy County, and he's being charged with abusing his son, 10-year-old son, physically, not sexually or anything of that more deviant nature, but his stepson is 10 years old. And evidently, another minor child in the home has told authorities that on April 23rd, the sheriff, the stepfather, threw the child across the room onto her bed, which caused some emotional injury. And then on May 24th, according to the report, Magra was asked to drive all the way back home, about 130 to 140 miles from where he was in Crookston, Minnesota, to spank the child and teach him a lesson. The mother evidently was offended after she trashed a pizza that the child refused to eat. It took a few hours for him to return home, and during that time, I'm reading from a Minot Daily News story that actually is quoting the children. It doesn't say the children's name, but it gives their initials, and so it's a little convoluted here. The bottom line is this. In talking to some folks about this, believe it or not, the social services folks came and removed the children based on this complaint, which I guess is the children, right? I mean, in these cases, you have to rely on the testimony. So there's two children that are involved in the testimony of this. Because of a bruise on the back of the child's back that occurred, the child said, from the spanking, others are alleging it happened in a motorcycle accident. But here's the real kicker that's not been reported anywhere. The child has been placed with his biological father, who is a convicted felon and has just recently been released from jail because he put a gun to the child's head. What the sheriff is alleging, and his and the mother of the children, is that the child was spanked and has been removed from the home for it, and now has been put with a convicted felon.
Where's mom in all this?
Has a line been crossed here? Obviously you got a bad he said she said. You have a sheriff involved. It's a complicated situation, but.
The thing that stood out in my mind is like, really? You need to drive home and over a pizza for 140 miles to spank a child? You couldn't take care of that yourself as a parent?
Well, yeah. You're saying the mother calling the stepfather home to take care of this, you mean?
Really? 140-mile drive over a pizza?
Right. Now, but again, who... The sense I get from trying to sort all this out, and maybe folks who are up in Eddy County and are watching this one a little closely will have other opinions as well on this, and this is one difficult thing here. I have talked to some sources that are close to the sheriff and the family to say this is being blown way out of proportion. And the real danger here is that the stepchild has been put back with the biological father who's a convicted felon, and everybody's missing that, and they're taking the kid's words for this because, you know, you're a little confused about driving all the way back home over a burnt pizza, and I would be too. But again, we're relying on minors telling the story here. So, you know, and of course you have to in some cases, right? You're trying to get to the bottom of what happened. So
when I was being raised, I was way more fearful of my grandmother because I was raised by my grandparents. If it got to my grandfather, I it was just over by that point, but I was more afraid of her.
And of course, this is one of those stories where when does a spank become abuse? Right now, again, they're alleging this. The authorities are alleging the photo of this bruise is the big concern. Now, mind you, this is May 24th. This took place, right? This is when they were reporting the physical injury. But we're just now learning about the photo and the bruise and this playing out. So, my understanding from the sources I have that the bruise is unrelated to the spanking. So. Anyway, Robert in Detroit Lakes wants to weigh in on this, and we'll welcome other calls as well. Steve's got another story in front of him, too, that we're going to need some help from truckers in the Bakken about. But let's go to Robert since the call's coming in here. 800-228-0550. Hello, Robert.
Yeah, this situation here has been blown out of proportion to the point of ridiculous. The mother locked herself in the bedroom, and the child was still outside that bedroom trying to get in because he was beating up on his mother. Now, this is a situation that should have never occurred. I've known Brandon for 30 years, watched him grow up as a child, with 32 years of law enforcement experience. Brandon, they're lucky in Eddy County to have the quality sheriff that they do there. He's, he spanked the child with an open hand, which is totally legal. Unfortunately, the problem in this country is parents aren't parenting. And everyone that I've talked to, they said, well, I guess I'd be in trouble. But this is ridiculous, what's happened to Brandon. It's a character assassination of the worst kind. And this is something that, you know, has to be rectified. I mean, this child being put in custody of his father, who's a convicted felon who held a gun to his head, and is in Crookston, and social services in Eddy County has no jurisdiction across state lines. They can't even do a welfare check. They can call, but the child will be next to his dad when he's talking to him. So,
Robert, I think you're referring to something that Steve just mentioned. Are you saying that this business of having to drive back because of the mom was upset that the pizza was not eaten by the child? You're saying that had more to do with the child harassing the mom and locking the mom in a closet? Is that what you're talking about, the same incident?
Yeah, she was in her bedroom just so that the kid couldn't beat on her anymore. And she'd called Brandon to come over. And when Brandon got there, the child was still outside the door trying to get at his mother.
So it sounds like there's bigger issues here afoot.
The kid is, obviously got some discipline problems, but as far as what Brandon's doing, he's doing what a father should do. It's called discipline.
And the question here is whether or not the line has been crossed, and in fact, spanking becomes abuse. Now, I understand it had to do, obviously, with the bruise. The authorities are talking about taking a picture of this 4-inch by 5-inch bruise. Photographs of the child taken by a Crookston police officer revealed a bruise roughly 4 inches by 5 inches on the lower back, consistent with the interview. Did that come from the spanking?
Dirt bike.
Pardon me?
The neighbor. The bruise came from the accident he had on his dirt bike. He's out on the farm. He's running this dirt bike in a careless manner, which Brent has warned him previously about that, but that bruise wasn't from the spanking.
And I guess that bruise would have had to last a long time because this was May 24th that they're saying that injury happened. And when did the arrest happen?
I'm not aware of when the arrest happened, but the Wells prosecutor is the one that signed the complaint. And the Wells prosecutor wanted them to go to whether it's anger management or some course. And of course, he did nothing wrong. That to me would be admitting that you have an anger problem. And of course, that upset the Wells prosecutor, and that's why they're proceeding with the charges.
He'll be in court on September 12th in this issue. Robert, appreciate the call and additional clarification, obviously, with your knowledge with the person involved. But, a lot of he said, she said back and forth on this one, children involved. But I guess the big question is spanking abuse? Is spanking worthy of a child being removed from a home? Spanking revealed worthy of having to head to court? That's where it seems to be fit excessive here. Trying to get to the bottom of this one. And if folks up in Eddy County in that area want to weigh in, certainly welcome you to do as well. Thanks, Robert. 800-228-0550. Back with more after this. Don't go away.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Hey, Scott Hedlund with a word about longevity and some research that led me to this company. Research that suggests the soils we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and to be healthy. Connect that with the best vitamin and mineral company out there, and you're going to find longevity. The longevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need. Now, once you have that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. Lose weight in a short period of time simply by getting the vitamins and minerals you need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. FlagFamily.com Longevity Link is the place you can start. Order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement and get started with Longevity. You've heard the ads. You've heard the research. Now it's time to begin anew. FlagFamily.com Longevity Link.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, August 27th, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $14,1890. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $14,6971, $734.85 for a half ounce, or $367.43 for a quarter ounce. That's $14,6971, $734.85, and $367.43.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Something happening here.
What's in your mind? Powered by SchwannCadillac.com. I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Hannon. 701-258-0550. 1-800-228-0550. Studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. We'd like to hear from you. Off-air caller wanted to weigh in this morning.
Morning, Scott. Good morning, Steve. This is Steve Johnson from Grafton, North Dakota. Make a quick comment. Pack all our boys up, pack all our people up, pack up all our toys, get out of them countries, cut off all ties with them. Any country that supports that kind of behavior, we cut off all ties with them also. But get out of there. We don't need to be playing over in that sandbox if they're not going to behave. As far as this sheriff that got spanking his boy, I understand the boy is 10 years old. When they get to be that age, they don't tend to listen to talk or none of that. They need to be spanked. They need to be spanked hard enough so it reminds them not to do it again. I commend that sheriff. I back up that sheriff 100%. Again, this is Steve Johnson, Grafton, North Dakota. I will do the same thing with my boy. Have a good day.
Thanks for the phone call, Steve. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550, studio, what's on your mind, .com, what's on your mind, radio.com. Let's go to one more quick phone call before I bring up this trucker story, and then I want to hear from some truck drivers out in the oil patch. Carl in Fargo, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I voted for Obama in the last two elections, but I believe he should back out of his previous position. Say it's what reasonable doubt is involved, and we're concerned about who is going to end up running the show in Syria. But if you guys, it's not fair to throw out a hypothetical, but if you guys could walk into Obama's shoes, what would you fellas do? And I'll hang up and listen.
Scott, what would you do?
Well, I think the use of chemical weapons. Again, mind you, Iraq was about the potential possession of chemical weapons, right? In this case, they've used them. And, you know, by all accounts, it looks like our evidence is pretty solid on this. We're citing the exact number of casualties of 1429 or whatever it is. Other countries have corroborated our evidence. I don't think we can sit idly by. I think we have to. But my worry is that we don't just throw in a missile and say, there you go, we responded, but rather get to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem in this case is a bad actor in the Middle East using chemical weapons. Where are the chemical weapons? Get a hold of them. You know, secure them. That's where my worry would be. So I think we do need to do something. The sad part of what's happening now is really I think we're doing something only because the president put himself in a political box by last year saying, boy, if they ever use chemical weapons, they don't have to do something. And so now he's realizing he has to do something. And so politically he wants to drag Congress into it. So he can say, well, they agree with me. We'll see whether they do or not. But I tend to think we do have to do something.
Yes, that was a statement that never should have been made on his part. And you don't draw that red line in the sand because then you're going to have to cross it at some point. And I still think we should have been more meter. We are not good at picking winners and losers in the Middle East. We never have been. And I don't think we ever will be. That's something that should be left to the people that live there. And I don't think that's some place that we belong right now. Afghanistan, I would have said, yes. Iraq, no. We had no business being in Iraq. And look at the mire that turned into. So I do want to get some input from some truck drivers this morning. Fergus Falls family drawing together after a husband and father survived a close call in the oil patch. Roger Braun has been away from his family driving an oil tanker out in Watford City, but recently drivers like Roger have been dealing with more dangers on the road. It's not like it's dangerous enough out there as it is, but now there's more. Late Saturday night, Roger sent Laura, his wife, the pictures. He says a plastic soda pop bottle was hurled at his windshield from a passing car. When it went through the windshield, there was, of course, a lot of pop and glass that hit him in the face. He couldn't see anything. When the semi slowed down, he was in the oncoming lane. The Bronze filed a police report. They found Roger wasn't the first. Officers say they're investigating two more similar incidents. Is this something that's becoming prevalent? I want to hear from some of the truck drivers out in the oil patch. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Has there been increased incidences of vandalism or cases like this when you're driving? I can't think of a more dangerous scenario for everybody that's driving the oil patch. I mean, driving out there is bad enough. It's dangerous. But then when you have
the wife is quoted as saying she thought it was intentional. For what reason, we have no idea. But to have thrown it into the incoming traffic seems very negligent, if not purposefully done. And, you know, some suggestion that drivers may be doing this out of retaliation for either noise or damage that trucks can do. You know, again, you know, one story does not a problem make, right? But the law enforcement evidently said this is not the first. So is it a problem other truckers have heard about? Kind of curious to, as Steve, to find out if that's the case. 800-228-0550 to answer that question. Cheryl in Erskine, Minnesota is next on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi. I'm just calling about the Brandon Mondre case. And
yes.
One of the things that I wanted to say, I'm not sure who the gentleman that's with you on the air is, but he was heading in the right track when he was asking about the fact that Brandon drove all the way home over pizza. And by the way, the pizza wasn't burnt. The pizza was just fine. People have to realize that they are going by the kid's testimony. I think a lot of people get confused when they see a court document that, because it's called a court document, they think it's true and valid. It's the kid's testimony. That's all anybody's heard so far. And the fact of the matter is, Brandon didn't drive home about pizza. It had nothing to do with pizza. And
well, I don't know if you heard the earlier caller. The earlier caller said something about the mom locking herself into the bedroom because the 10-year-old son was
right.
Being abusive towards his mother.
Right.
Is that more accurate?
Well, that's on the right track of why Brandon came home. Again, you know, one of the things I guess I would be careful about is a lot of people can claim their kids never misbehave and they never need any kind of correction or guidance. And because a lot of stuff happens behind closed doors at home and families are allowed to work this thing out in private. And that's why Dion called Brandon, was so they could behave as a family and work a problem with a kid out. He's a 10-year-old kid. Every kid goes through growing pains and has issues. Kids from mixed families have other issues that need to be dealt with. Brandon and Dion have been working on melding their families together. Brandon has some biological children, too, that Dion is also taking care of as if they were her own, and Brandon's trying to do the same. Now this family is in a fishbowl under the spotlight, and things that should be going on in private are being discussed in public, and that's probably wrong. I don't think people should be jumping to judgment or conclusions here based on the testimony of a 10-year-old that's clearly pissed off at his parents and being manipulated either by the system or by another parent. We don't know exactly what it is, and that's the key here. We don't know. I've heard a lot of feedback about this for the last few days about, oh, my God, drove all the way home over pizza. No. I mean, nobody's even given anybody a chance to say differently. He didn't drive all.
Cheryl, we're up against a break. Thanks for your phone call. We'll get to Roger in Williston concerning truckers coming up next. And our guest on the way, it's What's on Your Mind. I'm Steve Bachman with Scott Hennen, powered by SchwannCadillac.com.
You're listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Frack water recycling by Green Technologies. Now more than ever, water is integral to the success of oil and gas operations. Demands for increased environmental stewardship highlight the need for 100% recycling of flowback and produced waters. Green Technologies does it. If the well site location is remote, the challenges and costs of sourcing and disposing of waters becomes even greater, further underscoring the need to recycle water on location. Green Technologies does it. They're the leaders in frack water recycling, using a mobile filter press to provide on-site water treatment to effectively do the job better than anyone. Green Technologies, providing consistently clean, recycled flowback and produced waters. They're also the exclusive distributor of Drill and Dry, the best all-natural absorbent product specially produced for the oil field applications. Call them today for more at 855-246-4312, 855-246-4312, or go online to Green Technologies at gtmwt.com.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
We're back on What's on Your Mind with Steve Bach, and I'm Scott Hillen. Here's the telephone number, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. That story in Eddy County will continue to follow it. I think The story that we've learned, that we're trying to verify, we've invited some folks to come on and talk about it. That's most disturbing is that the stepson was put into a home of a convicted felon who's just been out of jail. His biological father had just been released from jail, partly for threatening him. So we've got to get to the bottom of that story and appreciate the bits and pieces we're picking up. We'll try and follow more of that story. It is an interesting one, but appreciate Cheryl's background and insight as well as the earlier callers. Steve mentioned a story that caught our attention about a Watford City truck driver who is complaining about, for understandable reasons, a pop bottle being thrown in his windshield, and was told by authorities not the first time this happened. So we asked, is this common? Are other truckers aware of this? What's going on here? What's behind it? And Roger and Williston wanted to weigh in on that before we go to our guest for this half hour. Hey, Roger, how are you?
Good. Good morning. Hey, I was just going to let you know a story on, this has happened on Thursday. Last Thursday, I was going down to Newtown, and about two, three miles north of Newtown, I got behind this semi. It was only going 40, but he was swerving from, three quarters of the truck was on the opposite side of the yellow line, and then he would swerve back to just about all the way in the ditch, and I followed him. I called 911, but I followed him from Newtown over on 23 over to junction 22 that heads to Kildare. And then I followed him on that road. And like I said, he was only going 40, but there was 15, 20 vehicles lined up behind. Nobody dared to pass him. And the oncoming vehicles were, one set of tires was so far over in the grass. But when Highway Patrol called me on the phone and he was going up a hill, and he couldn't even get it in gear. I didn't know at the time if he was drunk or if he had a medical problem or what. But he stopped going up in the middle, or stopped on the road going up a hill, and he couldn't get it back in gear. So I went around him. Everybody went around him, and I sat at the top of the hill, waited for the highway patrol. And then when the highway patrol got there, I drove past and waited at the other side, about a mile away, and I could watch him. And then when the highway patrol got done with him, come and told, stop me, and talk to me. And I told him that I was the one that called. And all they said is, the guy said he gets tired after he eats. And there was, I thought so many times he was going to hit head on with it. They didn't pull his keys. They said they were going to try to pull his keys until like 8 o'clock, and this was 4 o'clock. But that he should have been, his license should have been revoked right there on the spot. I mean, that's, you can't be driving a truck that weighs that much. They can't slow, granted he was only going 40, but he couldn't even keep it on the road.
Sounds like a medical issue, either hypo or hyperglycemic, and that's a medical issue, and that's...
His excuse was is he gets really tired after he eats. Well, if that's the case, then he shouldn't be allowed to have a truck driver's license. Because everybody
Agreed.
That was going by, everybody was, you know, giving him the finger and honking at him, and nobody threw anything at the truck or anything, but he was in danger. Everybody that went by was, you know, probably 60% of the vehicles that went by had to have their right side tires in the grass on the other side.
Jeez.
And then he would swerve over to the other side of the road. I followed him for probably 25, 30 miles like that, driving like that.
Dangerous situation. Well, you did the right thing calling the Highway Patrol, Roger. Thanks for the phone call. One more quick call before our guest, Anthony and Dickinson. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I was just wanting to make a comment. While I don't condone people throwing pop bottles at the truck driver's windshields, I'm just curious why North Dakota doesn't require a tarping law, especially with scoria trucks. The company I work for, we've actually had to retain the service of a windshield company every Friday to come in and replace our windshields, basically just from scoria hauling. And if you've ever been down the 65-mile-an-hour road and had a piece of scoria crack your windshield, they can tell you it's a lot worse than a pop bottle.
And North Dakota does not have a tarping law, which I think they should.
Yeah, like I said, I've had them come almost completely through my windshield multiple times, and it just baffles me that no one's gotten hurt or there's not more wrecks because of that.
Thanks for the call, Anthony. Still waiting to find out if this is a problem beyond some isolated incidents that was reported on from this particular story. But anyway, we'll tackle that another day and appreciate the feedback, as always, from the great audience of What's on Your Mind. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Steve, welcome our guest.
Well, welcome former North Dakota House Majority Leader and longtime legislator, John Dorso. John, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. Also an author, and I'd like to get a little of your insight concerning higher education. In your professional outside view looking in, do we have a problem with higher education?
Well, I think that everybody recognizes there's a problem with higher education nationwide. And I think in North Dakota that problem has probably expanded some because of the number of institutions for the population that we have.
So is the biggest problem the fact that we have too many institutions in North Dakota?
Well, I'm not sure that I would put it that way, Scott, as much as I would say that, you know, we're in a situation where we have to find some alternative uses for some of those campuses because, you know, I mean, if you took out the Minnesota students or, you know, those, I'll just call them students who are non-North Dakota natives, I mean, I think I read somewhere that 50% of the enrollment, especially at UNB and NDSU, is from outside of the state. Well, obviously, if you took that out, you'd have plenty of capacity for North Dakota natives. That's not to say that there isn't some other issues. I noticed during the last legislative session that they talked about vocational education that was needed in the oil fields. And, you know, the problem is, as I see it, is that higher education and the State Board of Higher Education is reluctant to see change. For some reason, I think people believe that the ivory tower, especially the educators themselves, believe that you know, the ivory tower with professors and tenure and all of that type of thing is much more lucrative than teaching somebody how to work in the oil fields.
John Dorso is our guest. Folks may remember that John represented District 46 in the North Dakota Legislature from 1985 to 1999, served as House Majority Leader from 94 to 99. By the way, he's written a book recently called When Governance Worked, It's Time to Chart a New Course. And John lives in Florida now, but still writes on occasion a column for the St. Anthony blog and opines on North Dakota politics. And you were on a Harley recently, keeping track of the battle over the so-called university system. You say so-called university system. And you talk about how higher ed, specifically the Board of Higher Ed, brought somebody in to take control of the system that they're charged with overseeing and got backdoored by the college presidents. Give us your view of what you mean by backdoored, and when you say so-called university system, what you're talking about here, John.
Well, I think Dr. Chobani, of course, was a non-North Dakotan. I believe he came from California. But it's my belief, and, you know, you would have to get the board, especially the president at the time, Grant Shaft, and I forget Espegard, I believe it was. You'd have to talk to them to get their thoughts why they hired Chobani. But when Chobani came in, I think his charge was to make some real changes in the higher ed system. Well, I think then that the college presidents, and probably, I mean, I think there's three of them that were more active than others, you know, were just totally against any change. I mean, they loved the status quo the way it is. They didn't see any need for change. And so they more or less, and I don't know how, I don't know if the term organized is probably proper, but I mean, certainly there was a concerted effort to undermine Dr. Chobani's changes that he wanted to make in the system. And, you know, there was no doubt that some of those college presidents didn't want to see some of that, some of those changes occur. Well, it's my opinion from reading what happened in the legislature, and as you mentioned, I was there for quite a while, and I can read the handwriting on the wall pretty well in a legislative session, and it's pretty obvious to me that there was a concerted effort by, you know, some of the college presidents, maybe friends, and some of the people on the State Board of Higher Education, and maybe alumni, and you know, there was people that just plain undermined Dr. Chobani. Now, you know, the fact that maybe his management style didn't fit North Dakota or whatever, I think when he was hired, they probably understood that. But they, meaning the board, were hoping to affect real change. Well, as it turned out, it didn't work that way. And Dr. Chobani's management style came under a lot of criticism, and in Indiana was one of those factors that caused his being relieved his position with a really expensive buyout.
We're talking with John Dorso, North Dakota House Majority Leader, former North Dakota House Majority Leader. Back when you were in the legislature from 85 to 99, to what you see now from the outside looking at, has there been a change in the legislative process when it comes to higher education? Has there been a big disconnect somewhere with where higher education was and where higher education is now?
Well, I believe so. When I left in 99, we had already had a number of problems. A couple of college presidents got caught. Kendall Baker comes to mind. That was a travesty as to the way that the board handled his firing. I think it took almost 6 months for him to finally get his resignation, or however it took place. And, you know, then there was the problem at NDSU and so on and so forth. But, you know, those issues were going on then and are still going on because you had the more recent experience of what happened at Dickinson State and, you know, some of the other things that have taken place. But, you know, back in, let's say, the decade of the 90s, we were doing a fair job of trying to audit, and the legislature was trying to get things under control.
Hold that thought, if you would, John. We're going to continue on the other side of the break. John Dorso with us. We're talking higher ed today, and your call's welcome, too.
Utah. We listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Hey, it's Scott, and I want you to meet a guy by the name of Bruce and his brother Wayne at Legacy Steel Buildings. Here's why I want you to meet them. They can build anything. That's right. And you know what? They know a little bit about doing business in this part of the world because they've been doing it for a lot of years. They now build buildings all across the planet. Recently named the North Dakota Exporter of the Year because they're doing business in like 100 countries. So, what's happening in the Bakken is nothing to these guys. They've seen it all from Madagascar to Zimbabwe and everywhere in between. 800-237-9620. Legacy Steel. 800-237-9620. From churches to storage buildings, horse barn, arenas, agriculture, trucking, garage, workshops, commercial aviation hangars, you name it. Legacy Steel can build it for you. Ask for Bach and Bruce, the problem solver, at 800-237-9620 and tell them Scott sent you.
It's a modern-day gold rush. Black gold, that is. North Dakota is the nation's second leading oil producer, pumping out over 793,000 barrels a day. Stop. This just in. Apex is hiring mechanical engineers and plumbers now. The right candidates earn $25 to $35 an hour depending on experience. Call Jim at 701-651-6753. That's 701-651-6753. Apex USA is an equal opportunity employer.
Get set for a vacation of a lifetime with River Pilot Tours. They have a motorcycle tour for you. Fly to Rapid City, South Dakota, Billings, Montana, or Denver, Colorado. Select a Harley or an off-road dual sport of your choice and ride for 4 days. Hotel accommodations included for all 4 days. They'll even recommend an itinerary to ensure you have a great time. All for only $1,500. Call River Pilot 307-222-6347. 307-222-6347. Or visit riverspilot.com. That's riverspilot.com.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
Attention homeschoolers, teachers, and students of all ages. Now there's a way to learn English grammar using the Holy Bible. Sacred Grammar is a unique book that teaches all of the fundamentals of English grammar using Bible verses. Affordable and simple to use, it's a superb supplement and a great teacher's aid. Whether your focus is teaching children at home, strengthening your own writing skills, or just speaking proper English, Sacred Grammar offers all the tools you'll ever need. Learn to use words through His Word. For more information, go to sacredgrammar.com. At sacredgrammar.com.
You know about RVs, you've heard about bunkers, but surviving is not recreation, and man wasn't made to live underground. Introducing Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's mobile, well-equipped, and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Go to survivalistcamps.com to learn more. That's survivalistcamps.com, providing your basic needs to survive. Survivalistcamps.com.
North Dakota Farm Bureau Ag Minute will be coming up here momentarily, but we want to continue our conversation now with John Dorso. John represented North Dakota State, District 46, a Fargo district in the North Dakota State Legislature from 85 to 99. Big chunk of that is majority leader from 94 to 99. Also written the book, When Governance Worked, It's Time to Chart a New Course. And before we headed to the break, you were finishing an answer, John, just on how we got to where we're at. Go ahead and finish that spot, and we'll just pick up on where we go from here.
Okay. Well, here's, in 99, with the help of the state auditor, Bob Peterson, and some of his staff, Gordy Smith and John Gretham and some of those people, we were able to delve into the books of the university system. which is another whole story, Scott. I mean, the fact that the university system has their own accounting system versus the state accounting system is another whole discussion that should be had. But anyhow, we were able to uncover some things that, you know, if they weren't illegal, were at least not right within the university system, and it cost some people their jobs. Well, after I left in 99, the people in higher ed mounted an extreme effort because they really weren't happy about us finding these inconsistencies in the way that they were doing things. And they got what is called the Education Roundtable, or I think that's the name of it, passed by the legislature, which is more or less one of those deals that says, hands off, let us do whatever we want, and we'll tell you what you need to know kind of things. And, you know, since then, I think things have really gone downhill. I don't think that the oversight of the legislature is what it should be, number one. I think as far as the State Board of Higher Education is concerned, it's ineffective. I've said that the governance model of SBHE and the university system just can't work in today's world. And I've said that ever since 1995.
So what's the way out here? You're writing one of your pieces here. Who controls the hundreds of millions being spent on higher education? Does the ivory tower establishment get to continue their ways or at taxpayer expense, or does the legislature get things back under control? Given the fact that, legislators that were supporting the board's efforts at reforms here have sort of been thrown under the bus in this mess as well and, you know, left to argue over emails, you know, what's the way out in your view?
Well, I think what we have to hope for is that the proposal that's going to be on the ballot for this three-member, I don't remember if they're going to call it a commission or whatever, I think that's starting point. And I'm not sure that that is the end of the road as far as the reforms that are necessary, but I think you have to take the politics out of the SBHE. I think you have to have three strong members that will govern the system and start to institute the changes. And regardless of political pressures that are put on them, and then they will have an opportunity to, build some rapport with the legislators. And then I think when they get to that point, some true reforms can take place because the legislature will have some faith in some people. I mean, in my opinion, Scott, here's what happened. Shirvani gets backdoored, the state board gets backdoored, the legislature gets backdoored, and the chancellor gets fired, and the college presidents win again. Okay, so now the legislature says, well, what are we supposed to do about that? Because every time we try and make any reforms, this is the kind of thing we run into. Okay, well, I think the only way that you solve the problem is take the college presidents out of it, take SBHE out of it, sit down with some people that are knowledgeable about our system in North Dakota, and really, you know, propose some solutions to a legislative body that will make a difference in the long term.
John, we're up against a break. Thank you very much for weighing in and enlightening our listeners this morning. Thank you very much, John.
Yeah, thank you.
John Dorso, time for a North Dakota Ag Minute from the
North Dakota Farm Bureau. It's time for another North Dakota Farm Bureau Ag Minute. Why do farmers do what they do? That's the questions you've asked. Don from the North Dakota Farm Bureau is here to answer your questions.
Don, why do farmers give antibiotics to livestock?
My son is getting over a sinus infection, and he had to have two rounds of antibiotics to clear it up. When your kids get sick, you get them medicine to help them get better. You also make sure their vaccinations are up to date. Animals get sick and get diseases, too. And farmers give antibiotics to livestock when they need them. It's important to remember that animals used for food have to have documentation on when medication is used, and they also cannot enter the food chain until a prescribed amount of time has passed from the time the antibiotic was given.
Thanks, Don. We want to know what questions you have about agriculture and why farmers do what they do. Submit your questions by going to ndfb.org and clicking on the Contact Us link at the top of the page. That's today's What's on Your Mind Ag Minute, brought to you by the North Dakota Farm Bureau.
Out of time for today. Congressman Kevin Cramer tomorrow. Plus, we'll talk with the commander of the North Dakota Air National Guard on losing their manned flying mission and how they plan to get it back. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, check us out at whatsonyourmindradio.com. whatsonyourmindradio.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. For Steve Bach and I'm Scott Hannon, that's the wrap on What's on Your Mind. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Biedelsbacher.
In collaboration with South Dakota and Minnesota, the North Dakota Soybean Council is engaged in a project designed to change the way soybean buyers define protein quality. For many years, crude protein has been the conventional measure of soybean protein quality. Yet soybean farmers in our region have lower crude protein levels due to environmental conditions. Careful analysis through several years of research has shown that the protein quality of northern soybeans is much better thanks to their higher concentrations of essential amino acids. Thanks to your checkoff dollars, we are able to conduct this research and educate international buyers on the fact that amino acid content is the more complete and accurate indicator of soybean feeding value. This will ultimately lead to increased market share and higher returns to soybean farmers in this region.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder, available only at HempUSA.org.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you suffer seasonal or environmental allergies and your doctor has told you that the only answer is medications for the rest of your life, Dr. Peter Glidden has an alternative solution that doesn't involve drugs with terrible side effects.
One of my favorite add-on products to the 90 essential nutrients for people who are suffering with allergies is a product called Cell Shield RTQ. Cell Shield RTQ. The Q in that product stands for a biochemical called quercetin, and quercetin is a natural antihistamine. It doesn't flag out your immune system like antihistamines do.
To manage your allergies without a lifetime of prescription or over-the-counter drugs, order Youngevity's Cell Shield RTQ today by calling 855-347-3696. That's 855-347-3696 or on the web at fireyourmdnow.com. That's fireyourmdnow.com.